gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. It's episode 59 of Bacon Smiles.
Wow.
Yeah. As always, Steve Patera, joined by my good friend
Evan Schaumburg.
Yeah. Pumped up, ready to go. We'll do it live. All right, so it's been a few weeks. Did a trip to Georgia and was a little too beat last week.
just a little.
After driving 16 hours each way with a one-year-old.
Your daughter a good sport in the back seat.
Absolutely. And my in-laws were awesome. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then also, Mega Millions jackpot was $1.6 billion. One person won it.
Yeah. Do they know yet who? Or
I don't know.
They're still tracking them down.
Yeah, basically, what I want to talk about is I kept having the same conversations with people, like, this whole week, leading up until the drawing last night. It was like, what would you do if you had the money? And we'll talk about it, because I have a pretty interesting answer, I think. And then going to talk about Halloween.
Absolutely.
Got that coming up next week.
A week from tonight.
Yeah, exactly. I had my first class, so you helped me out a little bit with a little Kahoot game, so we'll talk about that a little bit. And then I got youth group coming up this week, and then you got music.
Absolutely.
And then Saint of the Day is Saint Anthony Mary Claret, a pretty cool story of this saint. And then our reading is Luke 12, 39 through 48, for those of you who like to read along in your Bible. And then you got News of the Weird.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good story.
So a few weeks ago, on a Friday at about 7 p.m., Eva's mom and dad and Zoe and I made the long trek to Georgia. And it was North Georgia, Dawsonville, Georgia, for anyone who's familiar. Otherwise, you have no idea where it is. So, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. Mm. It was cool, though. It was Eva's cousin's wedding. Eva doesn't get to see this part of her dad's family very often because they live in Georgia.
Yeah.
So
a little bit of track.
Yes. Yeah, so 7 o'clock at night, drove overnight. Wow. And we stopped every, like, 4 hours for gas, pretty much. And that was what we stopped for. And get out, go to the bathroom, stand up, stretch your legs type of deal. And get back in the car and keep going. So we left here at, like, 7 and made it there at 11 in the morning the next day. So made pretty good time.
Yeah.
Considering that we had to stop and... You know, we ate at a Waffle House.
Ooh.
Yeah, classy. Nice.
At least it wasn't Po' Folks. I heard about Po' Folks in Georgia.
Waffle House is definitely the greasiest spoon, if you could describe it.
Yeah. Get a little bit of grit in your eggs.
Yeah, yeah. They laminate the menus so that when they're sticky, you can wipe them off yourself. Not kidding.
No.
But it was awesome. It was actually a really great trip down, and Eva's family is really cool, and Zoe got to hang out with cousins that she's never met before, of course, and all of Eva's cousins had never met Zoe, so that was really cool. And one of Eva's cousins is actually... has leukemia and is gone through some really rough times with it. Had bone marrow transplant, still having some side effects from that. So if you think of it, definitely pray for her. She's right now living with her mom, and her husband is taking care of the kids at their house. So she's not with her kids and her husband all the time. So that's a really rough situation. And they definitely need our prayers. And so they... Just to see the strength, though, in her, and just the how the interaction with her kids and everything like that. That was really cool too. And with Zoe kind of like interacting with slightly older kids, Eva's cousin Nick has a 2-year-old daughter, and so that was really cool seeing her interact with Zoe, and Zoe kind of like trying to run after them, and Zoe has gone from like barely walking to really like almost running at this point, which is really, really cool to see. And so that all kind of happened on this trip as well. And I went to a really cool church on Sunday to go to Mass, because, you know, I haven't missed a Catholic Sunday or Catholic Mass on a Sunday in a very long time. And I actually do really love to go to masses in other places when I'm traveling, so it was really cool. It was almost like, it was like a hunting lodge. The inside, yeah, the inside was just this old rustic. It was a newer building. You could clearly tell it was newly renovated, but the inside was so like rustic, and just old like cabin wood looking. It like just really had this homey feel to it. Super traditional in the Mass though. Like, altar servers, black under long sleeve with the white robe over the top, you know, like that traditional altar server robes. And then the they did the bells, you know, that that's older, traditional. And just everything about it just seemed very traditional. They actually had the kneelers for the Eucharist. You don't see that very often anymore. So that was kind of cool to see too. And it was a very diverse group in the sense of kind of like people. There were some guys in suits and then there was guys in like band t-shirts and torn jeans. You know what I mean? Like, so that was really cool to see. And it was just, I always kind of like people watch a little bit when you see a Mass, you know, in areas you're not familiar with. And so that, it was really awesome. And it was, the readings was the rich man, poor man. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. And so the priest gave an amazing homily on, you know, what it means to be rich, and God may not bestow on you the monetary wealth, but your belief in Him and your serving of God will bestow on you riches of another sense, you know, and which is absolutely true. The riches that I have been bestowed on me for serving the Lord is just amazing. And you think about like where I was before my faith and where I am now, you know, the blessings that I've received along the way. So it just really kind of that conversation really stuck out, you know. And when you were at Mass, you heard that same reading, because I love being Catholic, and it's the same readings everywhere.
Yeah, you're talking about it, and you go, oh yeah, I remember that, I remember that. We were talking about that in class.
What was your, like, what was the homily, like, back up here?
It was the same. We had the, I'm trying to remember, I think we went to the youth Mass.
Okay.
And so we ended up talking about that in confirmation class after. But we talked about the identity of, because the man that Jesus was talking to was saying, how can I be a better follower of you?
And it's just give up everything.
Give up all your property. And he was really crestfallen by that. So we were talking about identity in our class.
Yeah, and he went away, like, defeated. I believe that's the wording. Where it's like he left defeated, meaning, like, he knew he couldn't do it.
Right. And so we talked about in our class, how does our property become part of our identity?
Yeah.
And is that why it's so hard to get rid of it? Because we feel a lot of pride in what we have.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at a few years ago, you remember the speaker behind the swoosh?
I believe so. Yes.
And he talked about, he ended up going and working at like a Nike factory trying to live on the wages that they get paid over there. But that he had a big standpoint of like, okay, yeah, you're wearing an Under Armour shirt. How much is Under Armour paying you to be a billboard for them? No. Oh, they're not paying you. Oh, but they gave it to you for free, of course.
Right.
Oh, no, it's a $70 sweatshirt that you're wearing. Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. You're wearing a billboard for them, and you paid $70 for that sweatshirt. You know, but that's that sense of like, I have an Under Armour sweatshirt, or I have my Nike or my North Face.
Right.
I'll never forget. It was years ago now. I was asking, you know, hey, what did you guys get for Christmas or, you know, something like that? And a girl was like, well, I got a North Face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's that? Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I know the brand.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh, so what kind is it? Oh, well, it's a North Face.
Yeah.
Okay, they do make more than one item.
Right.
But
maybe she was just talking about her facial features.
I guess, yeah. She went north with her face. So to me, it was just weird that to her, the definition of a North Face was just this, you know, that like sleeveless vest jacket that is very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm like, no, that's a brand. What kind of jacket did you get? You know, and that's just that weird. She needed to have that North Face.
Feel good.
Yeah, to feel a certain way. And like if her parents had gotten her a different jacket, it just felt like it wouldn't have been okay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not to say like, hey, maybe she would have been fine with it, but just the way she said, well, I got a North Face.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, there's something about that. And I remember it, and it kind of stuck with me because I remember being that teenager where I needed to have that name brand stuff. I couldn't just have Walmart jeans. I needed to get my jeans, and they needed to say, like, Tommy on them, or they needed to say Polo on them, or Nautica. Like, I needed to have those, and my sneakers needed to be Nike, you know? And I remember being that way, and then just being like, now I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
My shirts just need to be funny.
Right. As long as it fits.
Yeah, I can squeeze into these.
As long as it fits and feels good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Is like now, it's for me, it's more about being comfortable.
Right.
And, you know, I like to be a little stylish sometimes. Yeah. But actually, I have no qualms about what the brand is of anything anymore. Just, like, yeah, I just got to be comfortable. Got to fit. Mm. And that's a weird evolution, I feel like, that we take as we get older.
Yeah.
And, kind of wiser on it, but also it's kind of like you understand that. Do you think it's a value of money thing where you realize, like, do I really need $60 jeans? Or do you think it's a, like, you no longer care about the status symbol?
Yeah, I don't think it could be a combination. Yeah, I think it's both. I mean, for me, I was talking with my sister the other day because I love using modern day, like today, slang that teens will use, and I'll mispronounce it like on
straight
purpose.
Fire.
Right. I'll drop these quotes in front of Katie, and she's turning 17 this December, and it freaks her out. She's like, "Stop it! Stop it!"
Yeah.
But I say, you know, back in the day when I was your age, I was really keen on trying to fit in and be hip, and cool. But now I'm so comfortable with, you know, my goofiness that I have no problem doing that because then I know that that's not me.
It's so funny because while you're saying that, I'm just remembering, like, Evan as he's going through growth spurt, baby deer, not really knowing how to walk down the hallway.
I see pictures of those years and I go, all right, next page in the photo album. Let's move to the next year. But now I can make those jokes because I go, I'm really poking fun at myself because I know that's not who I am, but I love seeing the reaction.
Well, that the funny thing is too is I remember having this conversation years ago where it's like if anyone didn't really know me and they saw the shirts they wear, they're like, this guy's the most conceited person in the world. Like I'm wearing a shirt right now that says I brought the awesome. What did you bring?
Right.
I have so many shirts that say how awesome I am. But it's more I'm wearing it ironically.
Right.
Like,
that's funny.
But if anyone's like, man, this guy really likes himself. Thinks very highly of himself. But so it's that weird thing where as I was thinking about the homily and just thinking about, like, the diversity of wealth in areas. And, you know, as we're driving through Georgia, lots of big houses, tiny houses, trailer homes, houses that look like abandoned.
Kind of like Florida.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Where it's like one, like a mansion will be next to like a little tiny little shack.
Yeah.
You know, very similar in that facet. And so that's where I started thinking, like, how did we get to a point where we value so much stuff, so much more than our community? You know, how do we get to that point? But then you start to think about, like, the scripture of the reading, where it's like, apparently we've always been that way.
Right.
Yeah. You know, where this man walks away defeated because he knows he can't give it all up. And that's where, like, the kid will go to school and feel defeated because he's not wearing the name brand clothes and stuff like that. You know, like, in the kind of the opposite sense.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, oh, that's just our human brokenness, where we need to shine ourselves up. We need to feel important.
Right. You know? And one thing Jen and I do a lot is we'll go for walks a lot of times after work in the evening. And when we go walking, sometimes we're lucky enough to see the sunset. And I was just thinking about that because for the last 30 years, I've been seeing like 30 years of sunsets.
Yeah.
And each one looks incredible and amazing. And it's just you stand there and you go, wow. You know, I could keep buying phones, you know, in the latest technology, get bored of it in the year.
Yeah.
You know, but 30 years of sunsets.
Yeah.
And it's just as amazing each one. So it's I feel like it's because the sunset's something you can't keep.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know, it's something that you're always seeing, but it's not something you can own. Whereas if you're seeing something, you go, oh, I want that.
Well, that, and you can take pictures of it, but it just doesn't do the moment justice.
Right.
You know, and that's where, you know, you got to, like, be in the moment, be present, whether or not you take a picture of it or not. Like, just the value of that moment. You know what I mean? Like, just the, you can have such a strong feeling towards a moment that if you just don't embrace it, you won't get it again. You know what I'm saying? Like, that moment, it's just not, it's not about just, like, anything other than right then. You know what I mean? Like, when you're enjoying a sunset or you look outside and you're like, man, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
There's nothing, like, that you're gaining other than just that little moment of joy. You know? It's not about money or anything else like that, and it's just like, oh yeah, you can't, I can't have it, like you were saying. So yeah, I don't know, it was just that that scripture really stuck out to me. And as a my father-in-law who came with me to Mass and I were talking, it's funny because we were actually having a conversation about the difference in wealth in the in our culture nowadays, where it's just like seems to be getting more and more divided. And then we, you know, that's the scripture. And then that's the homily. And anyway, so it was really cool to spend that time with my family and everything like that. And, or her, Eva's family, I should say, and my family too now. But yeah, so it was really cool. And to have those, like, deep conversations with my father-in-law and everything was awesome. And, yeah, so it just added a whole, like, different level of perspective and knowing my blessings. And I had the conversation with one of Eva's cousins about, like, if I could do youth ministry and Catholic youth ministry full time and it paid well, that's what I would do. And I said, it doesn't pay well in the sense of being able to pay my bills, but knowing that it pays me well in other ways, and the blessings, the real things, the things that really count, you know? And that was just funny because I had said that the day before the Mass, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was just all kind of tied together around that. And that's what I kind of found really, you know, profound for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
It's just those God moments, you know?
Right. So speaking of youth ministry, what'd you do in your class this past week?
Oh, awesome. So we did Kahoot. Mm-hmm. basically Catholic 101. And on Kahoot, there's actually, you can search for other people's quizzes that they've made public. And then you shared one with me that we've used in the past, kind of built up along the way at St. Teresa of Calcutta. And so I kind of used that one and mixed in these other ones that I had found on Kahoot's site to kind of like quiz my confirmation candidates and see where they're at. And it's really cool to see them like get kind of competitive with each other. And so I did it as teams and it was like two people to each team in my class. So it really was awesome. I have like 10 kids and nine, but so I did like three groups of two and one group of three. And it made, It made it really fun.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where Layla was like, oh man, we had it. It's not letting us answer.
Yeah.
but it's really interesting where it gets into the detail of the Catholic teachings and what's the word for this. And it's like, what's the book, the readings during Mass? Mm-hmm. What's that book called? And what it's normally up on the pulpit, where's, what's that called? And it's the lectionary. Mm-hmm. But if you've never really heard that word or ever heard anyone refer to it, you're probably not going to know that.
Right.
Even as a dedicated Catholic, you may never hear that word, which is funny when you think about it. but I knew that. And then how about like the first five books of the Bible? It's like the Pentateuch. I'm pretty sure that's... Yeah. I'm not great at pronouncing that. But, the Pentateuch. I think it's like Old Latin for just five
Sounds
books.
Sounds like it, yeah.
but, like, it was just... It's cool to have, like, those, like, really in-depth questions and see where they are. And then you get the random, like... Who uses that word? No one uses that word.
Right. I did last year during our class right before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You had told me about that icebreaker you like to do, poop the potato.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so we were doing that in our class, and one kid, as he's going across with a potato between his legs, goes, "What's this got to do with Jesus?" And I've never heard any of my students say that. I was like, where's this coming from?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. It's, I had I had my parent meeting a month ago, and this woman was like, "Oh, well, what do you do at youth groups?" I'm like, "I have fun. We have fun. It's just about being silly and having fun."
Yeah.
It's not a Bible study. Mm-hmm. It's not a kumbaya circle, or anything like that. It's just fun and silliness. And she's like, "Oh, what like kind of games do you play?" And I was like, "Well, outlandish ones." Yeah. I was like, "Outlandish ones." She's like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah. So there's this one game called Pudding Pants." She's like, "What?" I was like, so you put, you go to the dollar store, you get nylon stockings and pudding. She's like,
really scared with where this is going?
Uh-huh. I'm like, yeah, so you put the nylon over your head and you have to be the first one to finish your pudding cup through the nylon. I think it's an awesome game. The horror that came over this woman's face. This is the horror. I'm not sure she's going to let her child.
No, I was about to say, have you seen her child since?
He came to class this past week.
So that's a good sign.
The horror. Why would you do this? This is just an immediate reaction. What? Wait a minute. Why would you do this game? I'm like, because it's fun.
Because it's fun to watch them struggle.
She goes, "Did you make this game up?" I said, no. It's in the Catholic Youth Ministry game book. Which is true.
We've been playing it for years.
I don't know who came up with it, but they're a genius. Because it's awesome. But, yeah, just the horror. Speaking of that, I have youth group coming up this weekend.
If anyone wants to check it out.
Anyone who's interested, all are welcome. Sacred Heart of Bloomfield. 6:30 to 8:30 for high school students. 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. for middle schoolers. Like I said, all are welcome. You don't have to be a member of Sacred Heart of Bloomfield.
You just might have to pull pantyhose over your head.
You know, that game where spit into a bucket, trying to make a ping pong ball come out, you know. That sounds terrible.
But once you try it, you love it.
It's really fun. I gotta catch my breath. So,
what are we going to next? I'm trying to think.
So Mega Millions was this
Mega Millions, that's right.
So, as I almost pass out from laughing too hard, one person won in South Carolina. Yeah. But this Maybe whole week and last... Oh, MJ, if you won. Our youth ministry program could use a major donation. The conversation kept happening. Yeah. What would you do if you won? You quit your job. You right. move. Right. No. Here's the thing. I'm like... I even said, I told Eva this. I was joking with my coworker. I was like, Eva would be so mad because I'd still drive my 96 Ford Bronco.
Right.
She'd be so upset. You have the money to buy a new car. Why won't you buy a new car? Because I love my truck. I would still work.
Yeah.
I would still go to my job. But I realized I'd become like the worst employee. Not in the sense where I'd do anything really wrong. It's just they'd be like, hey, Steve, we need you to stay late tomorrow. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I don't have to.
We need you to work 6 days coming up. It's getting really busy. Yeah, I'm not doing that. But I'd need to be doing something, so that's why I wouldn't want to quit my job. If I had $500 million, I'd probably live exactly the same way. I would just have no debt. I would just pay off my home, the house that I rent out, you know, like all those things. big stuff. But I'd live pretty much the exact same life.
Right.
And that'd probably be a good thing. Because you hear about the number of lottery winners that go broke within 5 years. Yeah. How about you? What would you do?
I'm not sure. I'd probably... We're paying off a few debts right now. So it'd be... We'd pay that off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And Jen's watching right now on Facebook Live. So I'm making sure I'm answering wisely here. We'd go to New Zealand. Because she's always wanted to go to New Zealand, and I definitely want to check that out, too. And then probably get one of those cross-country motorhomes where you can go do some road trips.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's you and a Winnebago.
That's right.
Traveling across the country. See, this is the other thing that Eva would get upset about. I had $500 million. I wouldn't want to buy a new Winnebago. Yeah. I'd want to buy, like, a used, not that great a shape Winnebago. Because I don't need this lavish stuff.
Right.
She'd be like, it smells bad in here. Adds to the character.
Right.
She'd be so upset. But she... She would never go. We would go to go camping, and she'd say no. I'd buy more bacon.
Good.
Thanks, Ed. Good. Yeah, I would definitely have a lot of bacon.
Yeah, get a refrigerator specifically for bacon.
Yeah. It probably wouldn't be great for my health, though.
No. Pay your doctor well, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'd go to the doctor more often. But But yeah, so it was just interesting to have that conversation. Did you know a lot of people that were talking about it and everything?
We were talking about it at work yesterday. I actually, on the radio over the weekend, heard someone say in a report that you have a greater chance of dying in a vending machine accident than winning the Mega Millions. And so I work with a statistician, and he was just going over all the statistics of it and the odds and this and that and how you increase your odds and this and that. And so it was just kind of interesting.
Yeah. I have a better risk of walking outside and being hit with an ice cream cone.
Right. And dying from that.
Yeah. But that still didn't stop me from buying a few quick picks.
There you go.
Because can't win if you don't play.
Right, exactly.
But that lucky person down in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Gonna walk away with a cool $900 million. So much money.
Yeah.
That's like that's unrealistic money, right?
Right.
Like,
that could fix our budget here in Connecticut.
Yeah. Nah, I wouldn't use it on that.
Right.
They would still find a way to not. We'd still be in debt somehow.
Right.
Sorry.
It's an election year.
Well, they'll fix it one of these days.
Yeah.
All right. Halloween's coming up next week. Do you want to decorate your house up?
Oh, it's decorated. It's funny because we were talking last time we were doing the podcast, right before the show. Jen and Eva actually went for a walk with Zoe.
Mm.
And Eva said to Jen, so are you guys going to be doing anything, decorating your house? And Jen goes, yeah, well, we don't go too crazy with it. Within an hour, we had spotlights on the house doing all these swirly, cloudy effects.
Yeah.
I now have battery-operated candles in the window. And nice. I went to Lowe's over the weekend, got a nice Halloween light bulb to put in our door light.
Mm.
So it's getting there. And Jen's been preparing since the end of August, so she's excited for next week.
Eva's like, we're not decorating our house. I think I told this on the podcast before, but the story of my first Halloween when I was 21, I bought my house in
Coventry. I remember that story.
And I got all dressed up. I was wearing this like Grim Reaper costume with light up eyes, and I was ready. I was pumping smoke out my window. I had a strobe light going, scary music blaring out the windows. The first trick or treater rings the doorbell. I open the door and I'm like, I pumped up about it. Little tiny ladybug. Probably 2.5 year old little girl. Looks up at me and just screams, crying. I felt like the worst person ever. No, that's it. I'm like, that's it. Lights on. Boom.
Yeah.
It's all good. I kept the smoke going, everything like that, but no more costume. Just that's it. Ruined it for me.
Yeah.
That little girl may never trick or treat again.
No. Traumatized for life.
So, yep, that was my one foray, and I'm going to dress up, I'm going to scare some kids, swing open the door, look down, and there's a tiny little ladybug.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrified.
Are you guys taking Zoe trick-or-treating this year?
No.
Okay.
We will be giving out candy, and Zoe will be dressed as something. She will help us hand out candy. Yeah. We won't get any trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
We kind of live on a busy street here. And
no sidewalks either, right?
No sidewalks.
Yeah.
Not well lit. Trick-or-treat at your own risk. Here on this side of Vernon.
Right. They might have you play pudding cans.
The more I think about it, I used to think like, I wonder why we don't get any trick-or-treaters. But when you say that out loud, it's a busy street. It's not well lit. It's not that wide of a street. And there's no sidewalks.
And you dress up as the Grim Reaper.
It's a mystery. But, we'll hand out candy, do stuff here. Somebody's still too small to really go trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
I saw a really cool baby costume, though. You seen the video of, like, the little tiny baby dressed up as an old lady with a little walker?
No, I haven't seen that.
Cotton balls, like, wig. yeah. like cotton balls glued together, put on our head, mm-hmm. wearing like a little nightgown, like an old woman like nightgown,
yeah,
and like a little PVC pipe walker, as she's like pushing it and strolling down the street. Really adorable. I was like, yeah. that's a great costume for a little kid who doesn't walk all that well.
Right.
Got a little walker.
What I've seen a lot of on Facebook is there's a costume, baby costume that makes a child look like Kevin from The Office.
Oh, yeah, it's got the spilled chili. Spilled
chili, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. It's got the bald cap and everything.
Yeah, that's awesome. And a little suit.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, no.
They don't call it Kevin from The Office. It's not an official costume.
What's your favorite Halloween movie? What's your favorite scary movie thing? Like, do you watch would you watch a movie around Halloween every year?
Jen likes watching Halloween movies. We actually just saw the original Halloween over the weekend, and then we
in anticipation of the new one,
which we saw last night.
Wow. How was it?
And then the first one was okay. I had never seen it before. So knowing that Jamie Lee Curtis survives because she's in the next one.
Because she's in the next 30 of them.
Right. I was like, all right, she's going to make it. You know how the ending's going to be.
Yeah.
But the last third of it was pretty good. The new movie is scary. We went with a bunch of friends, and there was a scene where Jamie Lee Curtis is looking for Michael Myers.
Yeah.
And just searching for him. And we're all sitting there like this in our chairs. And I said to Jen, this scene is way too long. They could trim this. They could trim this down.
Nope, they knew it. They knew right. it was going to mess with it.
We're going to extend this as long as possible.
Yep.
Yeah. And so that made that scene almost unbearable, but it was well done. Jen liked it, and then when we went back to our car afterwards, we were saying bye to our friends, going our separate ways. Walked over to my car, and Jen goes, she's looking around. There's not a lot of cars. She's like, I feel kind of creeped out right now. I go to open up her door, and she starts going forward. I go, stop! Close the door. Someone's in the back seat. She was so mad at me. She says that she wasn't scared. It was just the fact that I blocked her from getting in the car. Mm-hmm, but I think she was scared.
She says it's very good.
Yeah, movie. All capital letters. Yeah, on Facebook Live.
I like scary movies. I don't. I'm not scared by monster movies. I'm more scared by like stuff that could actually happen. Like, random guy just decides he's going to hurt people.
Okay.
Like, that creeps me out because that could happen. You know what I mean?
And sadly, it does.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so we're going to lock every door in this house tonight.
Right. Oh, and I did remember one thing now that you said that. After we saw Halloween last night, Jen goes to bed, and she sleeps pretty well after seeing a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of the night, I go to shift from one side to my other side, and she yells, "Watch out!" And I'm like,
in her sleep, like,
and I look at her, still "What?" Sleeping? And it's silent. And I go, "Jen, what?" And then she's still silent. I was like, all right, she just talked to me in her sleep. But that's startling.
Yeah.
2-3 in the morning. Watch out. Right as you're moving.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know. I like the old school, like Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say just Freddy Krueger. But the newer ones got too, like, corny and stuff like that. But I'm interested in seeing the new Halloween. I heard it was really good, really well done. Because, again, it's kind of just like he could just be a really creepy guy who decides to hurt people. And that's where that freaks me out because he's not a mythical creature. It's not, like, something. So that's always creeps me out. How about music? Are you going to play music at your
house? Yeah, normally I'll kind of create. I have an audio editing software on my laptop. So we used to get the CDs and the cassette tapes where it's got all the music and the
scary sound effects and everything.
But I like to build it myself. So I'll get some ambient sounds and stuff. And then put in some soundtrack stuff. So I've done everything from Halloween to like the Jurassic Park theme and stuff like that. Oh, just cool. Kind of mix it all in and everything. And then have periods where it's quiet and you have a sound. And then I just put the speakers in our garage and then people just walking by hear the music.
Yeah. And that's, you also put up like a bloody shower curtain over the windows. Yeah.
So last year that's what we did. I ended up I actually found one at a Halloween store. I didn't have to mess up a shower curtain. They sold it that way. So I ended up getting some twine, hung it across the windows, and then took two can lights and just shined it right towards the, from behind the curtain, so you just see it really dramatically from the outside of the garage.
Yeah.
And yeah, people still came for some reason, you know. I'm surprised people came to our door.
They still make the trek up your driveway.
I know. That's a big shock.
You could have no scary theme to your house at all.
Right.
The fact that they hike up your mountain of a driveway.
I don't know how they did it, but we were giving out candy, and we started lighting up our house early because the year before, the house was empty when we were buying it. So we didn't have a whole lot of trick-or-treaters last year, but I was like, I'm lighting this house up, getting it nice, and so as kids are going home from school and everything, they know that, hey, there are people that live here. We got to go trick-or-treating.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. But what do you got in music?
So music, last weekend, some really good releases, and then some good releases this Friday. Yeah. So if you're into Christian hip-hop and Christian EDM, Gavi, who's a producer, just put out an album called Panorama this past weekend. A lot of Christmas albums, too. CC Winans from BB and CC back in the day just put out a Christmas album called Something's Happening. And then last weekend, Matt Maher just came out with The Advent of Christmas. I have the CD. I really want to hear it, but I'm holding off.
Okay, getting a little closer to Christmas.
We've got about 5.5 weeks till Advent, so I'm trying not to play it yet, but I'm really excited to hear it.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
I know. I know. It's bad. 10th Avenue North, also, we were talking about this last podcast, just put out an EP called The Things We've Been Afraid to Say. Yeah. And I've listened to that, and that's a really, really good EP.
That's awesome.
So stuff about abuse, infidelity, casual sex, just a lot of topics that you normally don't hear in contemporary Christian music.
In today's day and age, you just gotta go at it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So new 10th Avenue North. This upcoming Friday, Francesca Battistelli puts out her new album, Own It. Lauren Daigle's coming out with a deluxe edition of Behold, which is her Christmas album. And she was just on Ellen DeGeneres today, The Ellen Show, performing one of her songs. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And then also this Friday, Mark Schultz is putting out an album called Christmas. And then Chris Tomlin puts out a new CD called Holy Roar this Friday as well.
Awesome. Great. Yeah. All right. So we're going to go into Saint of the Day. Saint Anthony, sorry, hit this open here. Saint Anthony Mary Claret. So, Spanish priest from Spain was sent actually to Cuba in the 1800s and was the Archbishop of Cuba. And he began preaching there and spreading Catholicism in Cuba, then was called back to Spain to basically work directly with the Queen of Spain at the time. Did a lot of work in the First Vatican Council and published like 200 books and pamphlets and all that stuff. Was a big proponent of religious publishing, kind of started a publishing house for the Catholic Church in Spain, also started an order called the Claretians. So started with just 5 priests and grew from there as missionaries. Just did a lot, did a ton of things, was known to be a very humble man, focusing on the Eucharist and devotion to Mary. So just an overall great priest and bishop, and just he did not want to live, like, in Paris, would only come into Paris to hear the Queen's confessions and to teach the youth in Paris. So, just, like, just really cool overall story for St. Anthony Mary Claret.
Very nice.
And now, our gospel. Jesus said, oh, I'm sorry. Gospel Luke 12, 39 through 48, for those of you who like to follow along. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at the hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master, on arrival, finds doing so. Truly, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if the servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and maid servants to eat and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant, who knew his master's will, but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will, shall be beaten severely. The servant who was ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a pretty powerful gospel overall. So if you break it down into a couple of different parts here, and you just start off with the beginning, where it's, be sure of this, the master of the house had known a thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into.
Right.
Right? So you hindsight.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, pretty hindsight. But then the part where it's like, when you don't expect it, the Son of Man's going to come. Yeah. Right? So it's like, You won't be prepared for me either.
Right.
But then you get into the servants, right? Mm-hmm. So it's basically like, how will you act when I'm not here? Mm-hmm. How will you act in preparation for me? How will you act when you are given responsibility? Mm-hmm. If I tell you, go out and spread my word, will you spread my word?
Right.
In accordance with my will?
Right.
Or
knowing that I will be, you know, referencing the parable before, exactly. Saying, knowing that I will be coming at a time you don't expect.
Exactly. So what will you do? Will I come and find you doing exactly as I hoped? Mm-hmm. Or will I come seeing that you have given up on me coming back? Mm-hmm. It's kind of that sense where it's like, We know Jesus is coming back. Mm-hmm. But have you given up hope on Jesus coming back? Or have you just decided, well, like, I'll get to that later, and you're going to go off and on your own and sinful, you know, and be sinful. Eat, drink, and get drunk. But that's where it's just like, okay, so which way are you going to act? Are you going to act as your master asks you to? Are you going to act as God has asked us to? You know, knowing that, or remembering, I should say, remembering that God is always watching and always knowing what we're doing. Do we act according to that, or do we get lazy and do we act however we want?
Right.
Hoping that no one notices or that God doesn't notice our shortcomings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of get at it, out of it. What do you think?
I agree. Cool. I think it was pretty much what I was thinking too.
Exactly. So yeah, it's just, how do you act when no one is watching, type of thing.
Right.
In my opinion, anyway. And where it's like, do you always It's kind of what I've said before. Do you always honor God, or do you just only honor God when people are watching, type of thing? All right, what do you got for News of the Weird?
News of the Weird, this is a really cool story. It comes to us out of Minneapolis.
Minnesota.
Yes. And it starts off a little rough. Basically, this man woke up and was having a really hard time breathing. Huh. And his wife, who was 39 weeks pregnant, called 911 for assistance, and they let her through the CPR process. And by the time the first responders arrived, they took him to the hospital and put him into a medically induced coma.
Wow.
Because he was having cardiac arrest.
Wow. Okay.
Now, being that she was 39 weeks pregnant, she was saying, is he going to be okay? I'm going to be having this baby soon. They said, we don't know what his condition will be like if we try to bring him back. Wow. And she said, well, I'm not going to have this baby until he wakes up. Well, sure enough, by the time it said he did wake up several days later, neurologically intact and in time for the birth of their first child. And even though he couldn't be wheeled into the room to be by her side during the C-section, her sister was there with a phone, and they FaceTimed it
so that's awesome.
He could see his first child being born.
That's amazing. That's so cool. So, yeah, it starts off a little rough, though. Goodness. Right. She had to be so worried. I'm so surprised. Like, the stress didn't just kick off labor.
And to be able to say, well, we're not going to have this baby until my husband wakes up. And then, sure enough, it happens that way.
Oh, man. Praise God. That's awesome. That's so cool. That's so awesome. I couldn't imagine. Eva gave birth at 39 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. On the dot.
Right.
So Zoe was born right at that 39 weeks mark. So, yeah. Wow. That's shocking.
Yeah.
But as always, those of you who are listening to the podcast from the website, you can hear the music playing. And that means it's time to wrap up this podcast. We went a little bit long today, but it was cool.
Yeah. Fun. We were overdue for a podcast.
So. Yeah. So we got to make up for lost
time. That's right. Amen.
Again, you can always shoot us some topics or things you want us to talk about. Comment on the video. Go to our website. Shoot us a line. There's a contact page on the website, steve@baconsmiles.org, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. Evan's even on Snapchat.
That's right.
So, you can find us anywhere. You got anything?
Have a great week and God bless.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Keep smiling.
Go Red Sox.
No. Keep smiling and God bless.